The Lord be with you.
Also,
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
In other words, the Gospel wiped away our sins.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together today on this Sunday, the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord, the Day of the Lord that gives us life and rest. Today, or this weekend, has been a particular weekend. As some of you know, the Council of Mothers Superior around the country had a Eucharistic Congress on the Eucharist, sacrifice of enduring love. Some of us were able to be there. There were some powerful, beautiful talks given by cardinals, by other teachers of the faith, by some of the consecrated women and sisters, and also lay people. We're very honored to have with us today one of those Mothers Superior, who is also the Mother Foundress of the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary, who's been a particular presence of the Blessed Mother in my life. We'd like to welcome Mother Adela Galindo, who's with us today. She's accompanied by Sister Ana Lanzas, whose other religious name is Mario Andretti. So if you see her driving in the parking lot, you'll recognize. I'm also very grateful today because all of us receive life. Because life is a gift from God. And we receive life and our preparation for who we become from our parents. And I'm very grateful to have my father today, Rufus Rogers. I'm sure my dad could tell you all kinds of stories after Mass. My brothers and sisters, the Scriptures are living and active, and they are sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between bone and marrow, piercing between our bones and our marrow. That means that the Scriptures, when they are proclaimed in the life of the church, are not a dead word. They're not a word that is isolated to the past. They do not merely record events that remain for us something distant from our present, because they mediate those events as they exist now, today, here for us, in the risen, transformed humanity of Jesus Christ. That means when the Word of God is proclaimed to us, we are not only hearing about some things that happened, we encounter someone. When the Scriptures are proclaimed to us, Jesus Christ speaks to us through them. The same Spirit in which and by which He was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the same Spirit that inspired the sacred Scriptures. And it is the same Spirit with which and by which now He rules as Lord and Savior. That means that every word of Scripture is given to us, is spoken to us in the present. So the questions that are spoken in Scripture are spoken to us in the present. Today we are on pilgrimage heading north in the kingdom of Israel to Caesarea Philippi, the city under the authority of Philip, one of the sons of Herod the Great. It is there where Philip has chosen to erect a temple to Caesar Augustus, a temple where there will be sacrifices made honoring Caesar as Lord and God. And Jesus Christ, before he makes his way, before he sets his face like flint to Jerusalem to give us life, he heads north because he wants his disciples and he wants us to understand something very clearly. There's only one Lord and there's only one Savior. And then it is from that place and that city where Caesar is worshipped where Jesus has to ask us, who do people say that I am? We know that there are a lot of stories. There are a lot of opinions about who Christ is. But my brother and sister, there is one that is true, and it is the depiction of Christ that is living in this Holy Spirit given to us through the sacred scriptures in the heart of the church. And he is the one whom we worship. And there is another question addressed finally. Who do you say that I am? My brothers and sisters, this is the defining question for every person and every culture and every time. Because Caesarea Philippi is not the only place where altars are erected to worship false gods. We worship them too. They exist in our own day and our own time. The Lord says, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. With Peter's profession, he is saying, you are the King. For it is Saul who is the anointed of Israel, the Messiah, the one who is bathed in the sacred presence of God. And Israel awaited one who would come again, who would be anointed not only with oil, not only with the sacred robes and the sacred vestments of the temple and the throne, but with the Spirit of God Himself. And this is the Christ for whom we long. So Peter stands in Caesarea Philippi, not to worship Caesar, but to profess his faith that Jesus Christ is the King. And my brothers and sisters, Peter is also tempted. And we know that the rebuke that is given to Peter is not only spoken to him. My brothers and sisters, when we seek to compromise our faith, when Christ is not the one who walks before us, when sometimes he walks on our side or sometimes behind us, he must correct us because we cannot give ourselves eternal life. Only he can. And that means today when Peter pulls him aside to speak of another way, of another path, the Lord rebukes him and he says, get behind me, Satan. You think as not as God, but as men do. My brothers and sisters, these same words are the words that he will use when he says, if anyone wishes to get behind me, he must take up his cross. He must deny himself and come after me. Those words, get behind me, are part of the first words spoken to Peter. When the Lord says, Peter, get behind me and I will make you a fisher of men. They are also integral to the last words in the sacred scripture spoken to Peter. When Peter says, Lord, what of him? What of the other disciple? And the Lord Jesus says, what is that to you? As for you, get behind me and follow me. My brothers and sisters, that means there is a place for everyone. And it is behind the Lord Jesus who is our pioneer and perfecter of the faith. Getting behind him means that we have to renounce certain things. And just as we make those sacred renouncements in baptism and the sacred ritual when we face west, and we are asked to renounce three things. We renounce Satan, his works, and all of his empty promises. And we are asked to make a profession of faith in three persons. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, these sacred renunciations and professions are what order our lives. They give direction and meaning to everything. That means that when Christ is in front of us, God walks before us. So the song of the canticle, I shall walk before the face of God in the land of the living. My brothers and sisters, that's our song. When we walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, we walk before the face of God. The completeness of his communication of his love to us. And that is the life that we long for. Eternal life that begins now, but that also is our inheritance in the direction that we are called to take. We hear from the prophet Isaiah today that there is one who would have a particular way of bringing redemption to Israel. The prophet Isaiah and these sacred words in chapter 50 are written in the time of the Babylonian exile, when Israel had lost everything. There is no longer a temple, there is no longer a king, and there is no longer the land. The only inheritance of Israel in those days was the Torah, the sacred law of Moses, and even that was not guarded in the hearts of the Israelites. So God prophesied that he would raise up a servant. There would be one heart who would be faithful, who would have the Torah written in his heart, and who would take upon himself the burdens and infidelities of Israel and all the nations. And by his fidelity, by being a single faithful heart who walks with God to the end, from life and through death, love would be communicated to everyone who would have faith in his name. My brothers and sisters, these are the sacred scriptures that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would learn in the home of Nazareth. It would be Joseph who would teach our Lord of the suffering servant. It would be Joseph who would break open the word of the prophet Isaiah, and he would know what was written in the heart of his son. It would be Joseph who would come to understand that there would be a new way for Israel to profess her faith in a king who would give life. My brothers and sisters, this is the faith profession of Peter. And the Lord specifies the content and path of this faith. If you wish to get behind me, if you wish to follow me, you must renounce yourself. Not only Satan and not only his empty promises and not only his works, we must renounce ourselves. And you must pick up the cross. My brothers and sisters, this is not nihilism. This is not masochism. This is a liberation from the body of death that St. Paul will describe in Romans chapter 7. The good that I want, I do not. The evil that I want, not that I do. Who will save me from this body of death? But thanks be to God and Jesus Christ our Lord. My brothers and sisters, in baptism there is a sacred death and renunciation that must take place. And it is allowing all of the old man, the old Adam, to be taken captivity into the tomb and death of our Lord Jesus, so that we may rise with him. When we rise with him, we discover a new kind of freedom. It is the freedom where St. Paul can say, my only boast is the cross of Jesus Christ, because through it I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. My brothers and sisters, crucifixion is a path of love. It is a path of discovering that even when we are hurt, even when we are transgressed, there is a power that is greater, and there is an authority that is given to us that is greater, and it is the power of love. It is love that endures all things. It is love that believes all things. It is love that hopes all things. It is love that never fails. And this is the wisdom and the power of the cross that is the boast of Paul. It is the boast of Peter. And the present, here and now, my brothers and sisters, it is our boast. And the gift given to us in baptism as a free, unmerited communication of God's life to us must be received with responsibility. My brothers and sisters, it is a gift that is to be discovered as we cooperate with the grace of God. The renunciation of self and the proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord is a daily choice. It is a way of life. As we begin to renounce those dimensions in our lives that lead us to selfishness and isolation and away from others, and we profess Jesus Christ as Lord, we begin to discover something amazing. We begin to discover that we have received a new heart. We begin to discover that the law of the Spirit of life has redeemed us and saved us from the law of sin and death. And then we walk as a pilgrim people, as a new family, before the face of God who lives. And we pray the way Jesus Christ prays, in his authority, in his power, in his love, and with his forgiveness, and with his capacity to renew all things. So we cry out, Abba, God is my Father. His Father is my Father, and he is our Father, and therefore every man and woman and child is my brother in the Lord Jesus. And therefore I can walk with authority and forgive and bless and to renounce all that needs to be renounced and walk into that glorious freedom. My brothers and sisters, if we live this way, if we lose ourselves, if we lose our lives for the sake of Christ and for the gospel, we will save it.